are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, refined entertainment for a sophisticated audience. Who sometimes enjoy a good fart joke?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's The Ron Van Dam Show.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Don't argue with me. This is where you choose to go. So here you are. Going to host a video Zoom session tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. We're going to watch paint dry together, all different colors of paint. We're going to start with the brown family. They live down the street. We're going to start with a tan and then go to a deeper tan, a mocha, and we're going to end up with a sandstone. We're going to watch that dry. Then we're going to go for our purples and our dark reds. Watching paint dry isn't as boring as it sounds under the circumstances. It was before, now it's exciting. How are you? Welcome to the program. My name is indeed Ron Van Dam, and I can get a reaction out of you simply by holding up a puppy. Yeah, that's all it takes. That's all it takes. Why even bother doing a whole show when all I have to do is hold up a puppy? Yeah, it's kind of just melts everybody's heart is what it does. It does. Our pets are so happy right now. Do you have a pet? Doesn't matter what the living thing is. It doesn't have to be a dog or a cat. It can be a chameleon or maybe there's a cockroach in your kitchen. They're happy to have you around. They like the love and they like the attention. And it's a great time to be an animal. Lousy time to be a human, but a great time to be an animal. So you can't have everything, I suppose. How are you doing? Yeah, I say this on every show. I'm the only talk show host that really legitimately cares about how you're doing, and I go out of my way at the beginning of every program to ask how you're doing. Quite obviously, I don't care. I don't know you, really. And it's none of my business, but I do it because it gets a reaction out of you. Yeah, so I do it. There's no reason to really care. The people you love, the people that surround you, they care. I don't. I can't care for everybody. Oh my God, what do you think I am? I got my own problems, much less taking yours on. Oh, I'll listen fancifully. Yeah, if you sit there and you just start telling me about all your problems, I'll nod my head. My nodding still works. I can still move the muscles in my neck enough to have my head go up and down in affirmation of whatever the hell you're talking about. But I'm not listening. My head may be going up and down in agreement, but my mind is somewhere in Bermuda, sitting on a beach, sipping a margarita, and watching the world go by, a boat in the distant future on the blue water horizon, a barge carrying large amounts of oil and barrels. That's the kind of thing I think about when you're talking. Yeah. The other thing that's been quite enjoyable, but ironically stupid, is the price of gasoline. Obviously, you've realized that the gas stations have lowered the price on gasoline because gasoline has lowered in price itself internationally. Over in the Middle East, over there, that's to the right, they have made much too much oil because that's what they do for a living. They make oil, but nobody's buying it because there's nowhere to go worldwide. So they had to stop producing oil, but then they realized, well, if they do that, they're only hurting themselves. So they kept producing it, and there was just oil politics going on, besides the fact no one was buying gasoline. So now I think gas in my neighborhood is down to 23 cents a gallon. I'm only kidding. It's not that low. It's like $1.59, something like that, which is so cheap. That's cheap. I can pay for a gallon of gasoline with coins. But the ironic part is I got nowhere to go. So it's fun to go to the gas station and fill your tank up. And after you do, you feel good, like you hardly spent any money, yet you feel stupid because there was no point to doing that. I'm laughing because it's pathetic. But things are starting to turn around. I've turned around. I was facing this wall yesterday. Today I'm going to face this wall. So I am turning around, and so is the economy, and as soon as gas prices go, food prices, oh my golly gee whiz, what the hell happened to the chickens? Chickens used to be selling chicken was always on sale, and the chicken was cheap, you know, you can get chicken thighs for 99 cents. That's pretty cool. Now, no, not anymore. Chicken's very expensive. Purdue must have, had an accident and fallen down the stairs or something. And I guess the pork people, Smithfield, is that what it is? They had a contamination in one of their plants, a person contamination. And they had to shut that down for a while. So they were short on selling pigs, you know, and pork and stuff. And now that price has gone up. Chickens are still laying eggs. I don't get it. Chickens are fine. They're still laying eggs, but for some reason, what used to cost me like $1.50 for a dozen cheap eggs now is like $3.50. Chickens have become quite entrepreneurish. Chickens are saying, hey, you know, we're sitting around laying eggs all day, and no one's appreciating that. They think we just do it anyway. No. No, they shove machines up our butts and make us lay more eggs, and it's about time we got paid accordingly, because we have a lot of young chickens in the family and we need to pay for daycare. So while we're laying eggs, so price of eggs went up. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. I did an interview with a local farm in Massachusetts, and they produce their own eggs, of course, with their own chickens. And they sell them at the farm stand, and they've started to sell them in supermarkets because no one can stand just being small. Everybody wants to be big someday. But they're fresh eggs, and apparently fresh eggs taste much better than the eggs that I've been eating. I tasted a fresh egg. It tasted a little different, but to be honest with you, life did not change for me at that point. It's not like, oh, the eggs, I didn't even know this was an egg. It tastes so wonderful. No, it's still an egg. Eggs are a disgusting, disgusting thing to eat. They are disgusting. There's no question about it. Think about what they are and what we're consuming. It's disgusting. I mean, it's everything from animals that we consume is disgusting, but the eating an actual egg, think about it. Oh, ugh. That's not fun. That's like horrible. God, my audience. They get the right letters, but they pronounce it wrong. Did you ever crack an egg? Of course you have. There's that little yellow sunny side thing, you know, that looks like the sun laying in a pool of gunge or something. I don't know what the hell that stuff is. It's disgusting. I mean, it's just obviously disgusting. But then we scramble them up or we put them on a piece of bread and all of a sudden it's fine. Wow. What the hell's wrong with us? You know, since I've talked about this before, since I was a kid, I realized that humanity just sucks, that humans are just despicable entities. They never really evolved to anything. As a matter of fact, we're going backwards. Soon we'll be walking with a hunch leaning forward, you know, like we won't be walking upright anymore. We're going backwards. And we're getting stupider and less considerate and less respectful and less sophisticated. We're going the other way. I think Trump started that. Thank him for that later. Ugh. We're going the other way. But I knew that when I was a child. I said, oh my God, there's a lot of humans here. That was the first thing I realized when I was old enough to realize society. There's a lot of people walking around. Look at India. Man, they have a lot of people. I could never live there. They have too many people. That's crazy. A large amount of humans in one place? No, that's a recipe for disaster. What are you talking about? That's too much. That's ridiculous. That many human? I mean, I'm glad I'm one of them, but let's not overdo this thing here. And I've also said this before. My God, I should call this show I've Said This Before. That should be the name of it. Maybe I'll write a book like that called Said This Before. Anybody that has more than two children in a family, I don't know what the hell you think you're doing. You're not helping matters at all. 3, 4, 5 kids? Ugh. When someone tells me that in their mind, yes, I have 5 children, they say it like they're so proud. My immediate reaction is, the hell's wrong with you? They sell condoms now. Sure, some of them break, but not that many. What the hell's going on with you? What is it in your existence that you need to be surrounded by your own children all the time? Well, Ron, because I came from a large family. Oh, then why don't you just become an alcoholic? Because your father was one. My father was an alcoholic, and I figured I just love alcohol too, so I just keep drinking alcohol. No, you try to change the game. Well, we had, there were 5, 6 children in our family, and that's what I'm used to. Stop it. Stop, put a cork in it. Somebody should put a cork in something. God, birth control, no. How about cement? Try that. And men, come on, come on. Come on. Can't we invent something that's a little more effective than... I mean, we're making face masks out of cloth, out of t-shirts. Why not down there, too? I mean, seriously. This is ridiculous. Stop it now. And now that you're stuck at home, you're paying the price, aren't you? I wish I didn't have 5 kids. Oh, my God, this is awful. Please lift it. Please, I got to get out of the house. 5 kids, what the hell was I thinking? Yeah. Sometimes it takes a village to tell you how stupid you are. I mean, I don't mean that seriously. I'm just saying that for entertainment purposes. Just to get a laugh, that's all. No. It is funny, really, isn't it? Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. I know. 5 children. I know. That's like I have that many fingers on one hand. 5 children. Come on. Try to feed them. feed him. Oh, man. That is, I know, James, it's going to be funny. Oh, stop it. That's enough. Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, are you looking for wine? You got a party coming up or something? Special occasion stuff and you need wine? Well, you need to come on over to Jimmy's Wino-Rama and get some. I'm Jimmy. Hey, how are you? I've got all the best wine, and I have personally tried each and every one of them a number of times because I'm Jimmy. Hey, how are you? Jimmy's Wino-Rama, that's me, and it's the place to get wine. I'm an expert. We have specials this week. Cabernet Kemnoff Sauvie. It's red wine, and it's like $10. Or maybe you want to be drinking Pinot Perino. It's white. Chicks like it. And it's $7. So you come here. It's Jimmy's Wino-Rama. It's wine. Bunch of it. I'm Jimmy, and I may have a problem, but you won't have any problem saving money on wine at Jimmy's Wino-Rama. I'm Jimmy. Hey, how are you? I think I already said that. Did I say that already? I said that already.
Welcome back to the program. How are you? I'll remind you, it is the Ron Van Dam Show. Tell your friends about it if you like it. If you don't, come back yourself. Don't bring them. Because of the quarantine restrictions, I can only have 3 people listen to the show at one time. So conscious of this thing, when I look in the mirror, I have to stand 6 feet away from the mirror. I'm just being careful. I tried to color my hair by myself with crayons. A little spare time yesterday, so I vacuumed my rug about 7 times. It's very clean. I'm turning into Howie Mandel. I did a curbside pickup yesterday from a store. I bought a curb. Running a little low on toilet paper, so I'm watching my dog. So after I go to the bathroom, I wipe my ass on the wall. That's what my dog does. That song, by the way, is Little Susie. by Ray Bryant, in case you're interested. Chances are you're not, but I told you anyway, whether you wanted to know it or not. We have a great guest coming in right now to educate you on trying to make things better at the present time. Let's speak to our guest.
Hi, Ron.
Hello, everybody.
Morning, Ron.
Hey. Amber Cauley joins us now. She's a Senior Vice President and Business Credit Expert at Dun & Bradstreet. And Joseph Pascaretta is General Manager of Credibility Dunn and from Dun & Bradstreet. Okay, we're talking about small businesses and how they are hanging on in order to survive this unusual situation. And not only are the businesses trying to figure that out, but so are their employees. So it's consequential. I assume you're hearing a lot about this.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so
it's a big piece of, yeah.
No, go on. It's a big problem, I guess, is what you're about to say.
It's absolutely a big problem across the United States, but it's also something, we at Dun & Bradstreet, are hearing, we have over 80,000 small business customers, and so we're listening, we're working to help build tools and capabilities to help them get through this unprecedented time.
Yeah, it's a question of getting through it. I mean, it will be gotten through. The timetable is sketchy, but yeah, that'll happen. But I guess the question is, how long can you afford to hang on?
Well, I think we can all agree that small businesses are the lifeblood of our economy. And
right.
So what we're seeing is the small businesses are accounting for almost 90% of total businesses in our nation. Mm-hmm. So while they've all been impacted in one way or another, the Dun & Bradstreet data is showing that the at-home restrictions have affected two-thirds of all businesses in the U.S.
Right.
So what we're seeing is that more companies are coming to Dun & Bradstreet wanting to know what is being reported about them. They're looking for clarity.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be able to sort through the data and insights about their own company. But as well, they're finding that hires that they're working with are being more cautious. And then their customers who partner with them are also being more cautious.
Right.
So all the way around, we're seeing more people, more businesses making sure they know their own numbers and that the information on their files is up to date and understanding how it's impacting their ability to secure funding and things like that.
Is there a belief among small businesses as a group that that the public will support them more than ever as soon as they're able to? Or do they think that they're going to have to permanently shift their focus in a different manner anyway?
Yeah, we believe from a public perspective that, look, there's been a lot of talk of supporting small businesses and helping them to restart. We believe that the sentiment really is to help relaunch and help support small businesses, not only throughout the crisis, but in this mode of what we're calling the restarting small business era. So we actually believe the public is a big supporter in it, based on what we're seeing, based on the diversification of the way that they're engaging with small businesses, whether it's through social channels or whether it's through, for instance, with restaurants, curbside pickup and new ways of doing business for your local small town business.
Mm-hmm.
And not only on that front, a lot of small businesses are rethinking the way they're going to market from a sales and marketing perspective.
Right.
And we're seeing a very large uptick with regards to response to that, which is, things being sold online through e-commerce versus maybe a storefront. So we're seeing the community respond very, very favorably to supporting the restarting of small businesses.
Well, that was actually starting to happen way before this ever popped into anybody's life, because major department stores were going out of business left and right, even though the economy was booming through the ceiling, because they realized that the online sales were taking over the brick and mortar 2-3 years ago. That started happening.
Absolutely. It's what we consider to be three waves of digital transformation amongst businesses in general. The first really is, as you mentioned, which was kind of the retail, the bleeding edge adopters to the digital notion of selling online and transforming a business from being brick and mortar to being a digital frontier in that space. So So we saw kind of those bleeding adopters start out from about 2013, 2014 into today. What the second wave of that really was those laggards, those kind of watching for digital technologies to see, well, should I enter it? Can I really enter it? Am I right for this type of business? Mm-hmm. And is it going to be very disruptive to my core business model? The third wave of that we saw really was small businesses, the mom and pop, the main street stores, in saying, you know, we really need to get on board the bandwagon. Mm-hmm. So a lot of folks will walk into main street stores today and start to see the acceptability of new devices for credit card payments, for instance, right, or the ticket to pay. Mm-hmm. There's that diversity that has been going on. You're exactly right. Over the last 2 years, to us, we're viewing this economic landscape as an opportunity to say, you know what, we need to prioritize digital. Mm-hmm. We need to be making sure we're not all in on just brick and mortar, but we're also having that ability to sell in through new means, right, whether it's social, e-commerce, et cetera.
Right. Yeah. To amp up what you already have. Amber, is there help for small businesses during this time, which I hope is still going to be short?
If you're referring to funding available to them, you know, that can come in many forms. Obviously, there's the PPP offered by the government, or there's private funding through traditional loans, alternative lenders, or even factoring for some small businesses. But, you know, no matter what type of funding they're seeking, they need to come in with a game plan.
Yeah.
So when they're looking to secure a loan, they always need to have a prescriptive plan, and it needs to be realistic.
Okay.
So they need to help their lender understand how they qualify as a business. And more importantly, they need to demonstrate that they're looking ahead. Like as you talked about, you know, they're, mm-hmm, they're thinking ahead to recovery and sustained longevity, and they need to do their homework. They need to make sure their company background information is, mm-hmm, up to date. They need to know what's in their business credit file. They need to make sure they're in good standing, mm-hmm, because even in that scenario you just referred to, let's say they're going to make investments in technology to transition their ability to sell from brick and mortar into online. Sometimes that takes money they don't have readily available.
Yeah, of course they don't. I guess it's all a game of trying to figure out what happens when. I think any business can adjust to anything, but they need more information. They need a timetable. They need a where are we at kind of thing. And those answers kind of just aren't there right now.
No, they're not right now, but what we are seeing is, mm-hmm, they are trying to get prepared now, mm-hmm, so that when things start opening, they can hit the ground running.
Yeah. Well, they're actually starting to open already in a majority of states in the country. As a matter of fact, they have what is called phase one, where it's small steps, but it's those steps are being taken. They're hitting the walk. So, they don't know how fast the process is, but they know the process is indeed starting.
Absolutely.
Okay. I truly believe, without question, that once the stay-at-home is lifted, people are going to be itching to go to small businesses. They'll walk into a Main Street storefront just because they can. I really have that feeling once the paranoia wears off a little bit. They'll be supporting businesses like you've never seen before, and I think that's going to be a good thing. Thank you so much.
I hope you're right.
Yeah, well, I'm always right, so. and so are you, so that's fine. Where can we go for more information?
Absolutely. So us at Dun & Bradstreet, you know, support many small businesses across the country. So small businesses can go to dmb.com. Well, we have a Rolodex of tools and capabilities to help support you no matter where you're at, mm-hmm, in your restarting small business, whether it's getting access to capital, whether it's getting more information, whether it's helping to sale and diversify your marketing portfolio. They can go to dmb.com, and we have a whole section in there for tools and capabilities that are available.
Fantastic. Great speaking to the bros, both of you, Amber and Joseph, and continued luck to you, and thanks for doing what you do. Well, there you have it for today. As usual, you have been wonderful. I do this every single weekday. You can listen at any time during the day on any platform you want. You can stand on a platform and listen to it. We're on iHeartRadio, SoundCloud, Podbay, Player FM, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Podbean Network, YouTube, Radio Public, TuneIn Radio, and iTunes, and others as well. So you have no excuse. Well, you probably have an excuse, actually. I know I do. Have yourselves a wonderful, wonderful day. If you'd like, just to entertain yourself, you can sing along with the closing theme music. I think you all know it. Ready? Oh, I love to dance. I don't know the words. When you leave, please close the door behind you. What, do you live in a barn? Oh, you do? Oh, I'm sorry.